Chapter 46. It was just after lunch when the captain sounded the call to arms. "We've got a juicy prize, boys, so gear up and get ready. It won't be an easy one, but the rewards are great," he said to his assembled men. "Number of enemies?" a man asked. "Expect at least 40, if not more," the captain replied. "We can handle that." "Yes, but my sources tell me the captain of that ship is one of the older caste. He is highly unlikely to surrender without a bloody fight, and there's a very good chance he may try to scuttle the ship. We need to put up barriers at every major structural choke point to ensure we maintain atmosphere if he tries to blow the hull on us." Charlie looked at Marbon. This was beginning to sound a lot more challenging than their usual smash-and-grab brand of piracy. This was an actual battle, and careful attention to tactical details would come into play, lest they be unceremoniously evacuated into space.
"Don't worry, little brother. I've got your back," he said, noting his friend's worried look.
Then the rush of preparation began in earnest. They were heading into harm's way, and more than a few might not come back. Time flies when you're having fun, or facing a number of potentially unpleasant ways to die. And before he had time to get into his own head and overthink the whole thing, they fell upon their target. The ship was much larger than any they had taken since Charlie had been aboard the Rixana. Its long, multi-sectioned design seemed rather akin to a way a wasp's abdomen pinched and separated from its thorax. Only this craft could be far deadlier than a wasp, with many means of defense and a half dozen sections for the pirates to board. The narrow segments were apparently designed to make it easier to segregate sections in the event of a catastrophic decompression. In other more hostile circumstances, like pirates, for example, they would also create multiple choke points, bottlenecks that hindered any invading force. Charlie noticed all of this as they hurtled toward the craft, Captain Saruman's Drooks applying reverse thrust only moments before impact. The Rixana made hard contact, and Captain Saruman immediately unleashed his disabling spell, rendering the ship incapable of jumping away.
"Go, go, go!"
he shouted to his men as three narrow force field tubes deployed, the sharp crack of shattering metal ringing out as they made contact with the hulls of three of the six sections, sealing instantly and providing the pirate invaders with a breathable atmosphere as they boarded. They wouldn't need it for long. The pirates may have been rough and uncultured individuals, but when it came to the work of piracy, they were unparalleled, swarming into the ship as fast and efficiently as a crack commando team. Utilizing portable force field devices, they poured through the holes, quickly taking out any resistance and securing the path.
"Clear! Let's go, lads!" the first through cried out with glee.
A few of the crew perhaps enjoyed their job a little too much, Charlie noted. He was, nevertheless, glad they were on his side. Section by section, the pirates flooded the disabled craft.
"This one's ours," Marwan said,
scanning the dwindling resistance as he pulled his short sword free from the chest of the man he'd just impaled.
"We need to get moving to the next section before they try anything cute. We've already blocked two attempts by the captain to scuttle the damn thing."
The threat of violent decompression did not sit well with Charlie.
"Well then, let's get moving," he replied.
Marbon smiled broadly.
"Now you're getting into the spirit, little brother."
They joined the handful of men charging into the next section and ran headlong into a fierce fight. The captain was already there, efficiently working his way through all who stood in his way. If any had considered challenging him for control of the pirate ship, seeing him in action would immediately quell any such ambitions. Charlie ducked and dodged a pair of attackers, breaking one's knee in passing as he moved to choke the other one out. Marbon finished the man on the ground with a quick blow to the head. Charlie flashed an annoyed look, then realized the seemingly finished man had pulled a dagger from his belt and was about to push off with his remaining good leg, aiming to put an end to Charlie's pirating days. He gave a grateful nod to Marbon as the man in his arms slid into unconsciousness. He quickly trussed him up for the others to retrieve, then moved forward. The fighting continued, but it seemed as if the next section was theirs for the taking, the defenders having fallen back in panic. A pair of men eagerly charged through the short corridor into the unprotected section.
"Wait," Captain Saruman called after them,
but it was too late. There was no time to save the men. As it was, the captain only barely managed to utter the command while there was still atmosphere to carry his voice, quickly placing the force field across the doorway, a doorway that now opened into the vacuum of space. The last two sections of the ship were broken free, falling into the nearby planet's gravity. In short order, it would pass into the atmosphere, eventually plowing into the ground below.
"Idiots! Never charge in like that," he growled, then turned back to his men. "Okay, you lot, we're done here. They've scuttled the rest of the ship, so gather up whatever cargo there is and send the laborers in to carry it back to the Rexxana."
He turned to Marbon and Charlie.
"I need volunteers to go to the surface of that planet and see if anything useful survived the impact. You two are it. Go gather some muscle and get to it."
"Yes, Captain," Marbon said, then took off for the cells on their craft, Charlie following close behind.
"Shit, that was close," the greenhorn human said.
"That's why the captain warned us. Those idiots tripped the spell that scuttled the rest of the ship. If the vacuum and re-entry didn't kill them, I'm sure the captain would have."
The two men quickly made their way through the bustling ranks of men ferrying their plunder back to the Rexxana and pulled a half dozen of the strongest prisoners from their cells. Then they loaded into the ship's cargo shuttle with its contingent of a handful of Drooks and separated from the larger craft. Finding the scuttled ship was easy, Charlie realized. Just follow the smoke, flames, and debris. And of that, there was plenty. As their shuttle grew closer to the crash site, he found that despite the greenery crushed and shattered in the crash, as well as the vast, verdant landscape around the wreckage, he nevertheless couldn't help but feel a sense of déjà vu. He had arrived in this galaxy in much the same fashion. The crew of this particular ship, however, had most certainly not fared as well as he had.